sermon this morning is another sermon in a series. The series is called This, Not That, which is really about, I love this word, it's about differentiation. Do you love that word? Differentiation. This, not that, meaning God's word, not the culture's answer. Remember last week the question that Pastor Chris preached on was, who deserves our help? And of course we would think, well, everyone. And surprisingly, the answer was no one. We should help anyway, but not because of deserving. So this was, even for a veteran pastor like me, it's refreshing to hear questions that you assume you know the answer to that have from God's word a surprising and a surprising and helpful response for us. So I like this church. I say this as an outsider in a certain way. I'm the current lead pastor, but intentional interim. I like this church because here we have an appreciation for studying and appreciating God's word and also an understanding of the gospel. So this title today, Why Doesn't Anyone Like Me? I don't know what you think about that, but when I see that by itself, I think, well, that's interesting or maybe superficial, or what relevance does that have? My introductory thoughts are this. I want to make the point to you, I think that's a really good question. It's a good sermon title, not because it looks like one, but because it is when you dig a little deeper. This question, why doesn't anyone like me, is on the surface about friendship, about liking. But I think when you think about it deeper, it's about the most private, most secretive thoughts that we can possibly have, which are about our own self-worth, about our own identity. Who are we? How are we connected? It's a really intimate kind of question when you think about it a while. The intimacy of whether we are liked or not is more intimate than sex. We sometimes think, well, that's the most intimate. No, not really. The more intimate thing than that is how we feel about ourselves and others. It's the deepest, most secretive part. And I say secretive because we ourselves don't think about it very much. We don't want to think about it. We have built into our humanity a certain amount of avoidance. Just show of hands, how many of you attended one of the cottage meetings in the first couple of months that I was here? Quite a few? I know the numbers were great, thank you. Do you remember that I asked all of you how you dealt with conflict? I don't know if I've reported it to all of you, but you can guess of all those many different ways that you can respond. The highest number was avoidance, naturally. Now, when I compare you to other congregations, you're healthier than most congregations, because in most congregations, that's a huge number. Everybody really, really likes that answer, and you had a wide variety of responses. So just so you know, you're a healthier congregation than most in terms of the variety of responses. But still, the number one thing was, we want to avoid stuff. And certainly, we want to avoid questions about our worthiness. I'm going to add one more layer to this. We live in a culture today, historically. I'm a student of cultures. I like to compare cultures. I'm pointing out for you that since the beginning of humanity, there's never been a culture like America today. One thing that distinguishes us is how sensitive we are. And my explanation of that is because we have historic wealth. My parents, I grew up on a farm in Missouri, before that in Iowa. I grew up on a farm. in my lifetime, my parents didn't worry very much what people thought about them because they were busy earning a living. Their time and energies were on food production. And before that, their parents, their energies and focus was on survival. You get my point? We have time now, the luxury of time, to think about things we never in the history of humanity thought about before because of our accumulated wealth. Unparalleled in the history of humanity. So today in America, we think about things that are politically correct. You can't say or do that. Even on university campuses, you can't have creative or different thoughts about life or culture because of our accumulated wealth. So today, a lot of people have insecure feelings. These are issues for people, especially young people of any generation, but especially today, that are issues in our culture. So back to this question, why doesn't anyone like me? Again, there are cultural references for that, and there are personal references for that, all of which are measurable. So my point is, that's a good question. Not because you would think so at first, but when you dig deeper, it really addresses the most secretive, intimate question we can have, which is, how am I connected to other people? Related to that are questions of what will happen to me when I die. Related to that are, will anyone love me? Do I have any friends at school? Am I in or out? For young people especially, the issues are different. For older people, but it's the same kind of question. So that's the question we're dealing with today, labeled, why doesn't anyone like me? But really the question is, does anyone like me? And so I have two answers for you. Typically my sermons would have 3 points. This one has 2 points. I have two answers. They're both good answers. One is a law answer. The other is a gospel answer. And I'm going to restate that Lutherans are good at understanding law and gospel. That's a good way to understand it. But first, the law answer. And the law answer has 2 parts, one theological, one practical. So you can track this. Why doesn't anyone like me theologically? Well, you're not very likable. You're a sinner. That's why. You are not actually good. God's word tells us something shocking to our culture. What? Not everybody's good? We have political leaders in America who are evidently puzzled why people would do bad things. Can't understand it. Why do we need policemen? Why do we need military? Isn't everyone really good across the world? Don't they mean well? No, some of them want to kill us. Do you not understand evil? The Bible explains it. From the fall of man, why did Cain kill Abel? Because the crops? What? So, sin is a part of who we are. This is the theological answer. You have to understand, we are not by nature good. Our confession is we are by nature sinful and unclean, so we sincerely, deeply ask God to forgive us, and he does. But that's the theological. The practical answer is just on a day-to-day basis. If you want people to like you, I will give you some suggestions on how you can make that happen. This will be good. I'm going to read them off. Number one, don't be so self-absorbed. Number two, read Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. If you do, here's point number three, talk less, listen more. Great advice. Number four, be more curious about others. It's just a very simple thing. If you develop or ask questions about other people, that will help you make friends instead of talking about yourself or your thoughts all the time. These are four great suggestions. If you want people to like you, you should do these things. And you know how I label all these practical suggestions? They are all essentially law. Law is do this, not that. The Ten Commandments are law. The Ten Commandments say, no, don't steal, don't kill, don't lie, don't cheat, don't do those things. Ten Commandments from God. Ten Commandments are good. The Ten Commandments were God's precious gift to the children of Israel, so it helped them lead better lives. And if you obey the Ten Commandments, you will have a better life than if you don't. But it's good to know those things, those practical advice things I just gave you are essentially law. And here's something else I understand from one of my previous vocations. I was a capital campaign consultant. I did that full time for 10 years. It grew to be a national organization. So I worked with churches all over the country, with Catholic and Methodist and Presbyterian and ELCA Lutheran. So in a wide variety of churches, I helped them raise money. And in some of those churches, I would hear really good law messages. What do I mean? Many good churches in America have social justice agendas, and that's a good thing. And in those good churches, you will hear good law, like you should do this and you should do that. And I listen really carefully, and I wait for the gospel, and I never hear it because they're still on this, you should. So if you hear from me or anyone else messages like you should, I just want you to understand that's a law message. You should is a law message. So why doesn't anyone like me? Well, you should do this, and then they would. You should fix it by doing good. And law is from God, but just to clarify why Lutherans have this understanding, the law won't save you, because even if you try to do it, you still are not going to be perfect. And you'll be just like all the other religions, like Judaism, for example. So the law answer, why doesn't anyone like me? What's the nature of my being, my innermost self, is to be better, do better. You're not worthy, you should try harder. A really good sermon might leave you leaving here saying, yeah, that was really helpful, thanks, Pastor, but it's not the gospel. What's the gospel answer to this very same question? This, I hope for you, will be the precious gift that you will remember and take with you today. Same question. Why didn't anyone like me? Different answer. The answer is, are you kidding? Nobody likes you. No, God not only likes you, he loves you. He purchased and redeemed you. He loved you so much, he sacrificed for you. The story of Christianity is not really about saving, it's about redemption. Saving, I have a savings account. Redemption involves a sacrifice. Christianity is a message of redemption. And again, in the history of humanity, there's nothing like it. Let's look at our culture today. Let's just think about the world that you live in. You and I live in America today. And what are the other spheres of influence? Well, I'll list them for you. One is business. Business is really effective. It results in employment and wealth accumulation. People who don't like capitalism probably genuinely do really not understand things like employment, wealth accumulation. Capitalism works really well, but capitalism is focused on profits. on wealth accumulation. It's not a story of redemption. Nowhere in the business world is there a story of redemption, only in Christianity. What are other areas of influence? Well, certainly politics are an area of influence. What is the coin of the realm in politics? It is power. People you will watch in a political campaign vie for power. They want these voters to like them. They'll do anything to get more of these kind of voters and not those kind of voters. So politics is about power. Business is about profit. Oh, there's the entertainment world. What's that about? It's about fame. There's no story of redemption in the business world, the political world, or the entertainment world. Just listen carefully to the messages. Only Christianity has this account. I hesitate to use story because it sounds like it's made up. No, it's based in history. Only Christianity has a story of redemption. The story of God's love for you is so powerful that it results in eternal life for all who believe. So this question is a really good one. Why doesn't anybody like me? Because it's an expression of insecurity. I joke earlier, yeah, by David Reinke. He must really be insecure if he's asking that question. Well, I am insecure, and so are you. We will not admit it, but it is true. In our deepest moments, since I'm older and have to sit down now, I will explain to you that I understand how people who are older think about dying and being alone. Health issues force us to think differently about our life. This is the most personal thing we have. Thank goodness we have a fellowship where we can come together. If you're younger, when you're in grade school or middle school or high school or college, these are more challenging years at a younger time than later because you have to deal with challenges older people don't. So you think about, you are wrestling with these issues. So it's an incredible gift from God to you this morning to understand you are loved so much more than anyone else possibly could. And does that make a difference? Yes. Just last night, I was talking with a number of members after the service, and we were talking about how our own lives have been changed by understanding God's love for us. I'm an older guy, and I'm still learning. In just the last 2 years, I notice I behave differently at the doctor's or at the grocery store than I used to, in that I'm more outgoing. Why would that be? Don't we all get set in our ways? No. Some of us change and grow all the time based on our greater level of security than we had. What changed in those last 2 years? It's starting to sink in how much God loves me and what that means for my confidence. That's a powerful thing at any age for you to know. You'll even walk differently. You'll carry yourself differently if you know that you are loved. Go to any high school and watch how the most popular person in that school comes across a room, and then watch how the most insecure person in the school comes across the room. They carry themselves differently. Why do you think that is? Because they feel differently about themselves. It's a powerful thing for any of us to know we are loved by God. It's measurable. And that's the great thing about this particular church. We can talk about it because of what you tell me. I know lots of you get this already. I see in your lives of successful people. We have pain, but most of you here this morning understand. You already know that you are loved by God, and I want to remind you of it. That one thing will be worth your time this morning, to go from this hour of worship with a greater understanding of just how powerful that is, to be loved by God. So now I'm wrapping up. It's an interesting question, like a lot of others in life. Why doesn't anybody like me? Well, it could be because you're not likable. But secondly, that doesn't make any difference. The Lutherans understand this phrase by Martin Luther. It's Latin, simul justus et peccator, at the same time justified and sinful, at the same time saint and sinner. Well, that's God's word for you this morning. I'm going to wrap it up by reading from that text in 1 John about what God's word says about love and God. 1 John 4, verses 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him. Another translation, God lives in that person. It's just exciting. And he and God. So we have come to know and believe. That's important. We've come to know it and believe it. The love God has for us. Verse 19, we love because he first loved us. That should be our name tag, our badge. We love because he first loved us. So why do we have a program that feeds people? Because he first loved us. Why do we give 10% of our collection away to all kinds of things? Because he loved us. Why do we send a mission team to Alaska or Africa? We do that because he first loved us. What a fun, wonderful, empowering thing it is to live in a community where we know that and practice that. That's the blessing we have from God. So that's my prayer for us this morning, that we understand what God's word says about love and security and the deepest, darkest secrets and fears we can possibly have. That we are assured by God himself, that we are loved by God into eternal life. It's my prayer that we know that and that we share that. May God grant that in Jesus' name. Amen.